Well, as I said before, it sure is good to be here at Fox Run. Thankful for the facilities opening up this room for us. Want to be encouragement to those who wanted to come out to our service, but especially to Brother Dennis, as we've been praying for him. It's good to see you, and we'll keep praying for you and trust the Lord's going to help with the upcoming surgery. But tonight I want us to turn our Bibles to Psalm 121. 121. I came across this psalm just in my Bible reading this week and thought it might be an encouragement to you. So we want to look here at Psalm 121. We'll go ahead and read the psalm as we get started. The Bible says, and the psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I want to preach to you just a few moments tonight. Sermon entitled, Keep Your Eyes on the Keeper of Your Soul. Keep your eyes on the keeper of your soul. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get right into it here this evening. Father, we love you, and we're so thankful for all those that have come out tonight. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you would meet with us here in this place. Lord, we don't meet here very often. Lord, only once before. But Lord, I'm thankful that, Lord, your church isn't a building, but it's a body of believers. And Lord, as we've assembled here at this location tonight, I pray that you would meet with us and that you would, Lord, be an encouragement to all those listening, both those that are part of our church and those that are just residents here or visiting with us here tonight. Lord, we want your will and way in every aspect of this service. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are a needy people. We need a lot, don't we? We're a needy people. We need help. We need help. And God created man, and he realized how much help we needed, and so he decided that he was going to have to create a helpmeet for us. And we need help sometimes. We need help from friends or from family. There are times when we find ourselves in positions where we just need somebody to help us. Whether it's being broke down on the side of the road or somehow being in a bind or being in a situation where you can't get yourself out of it and you call on a friend, you call on a family member and you say, help me. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10 says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And the truth is, sometimes we just need help. Sometimes we need a helping hand. And, you know, it's one thing to receive help from a friend, and we need that. But there comes a point in our life, and oftentimes we're at this crossroad, where the kind of help that we need, no man can give us. And the kind of encouragement that we need sometimes, maybe no man can give us, or we're in a position where no one is there to help us. No one is there to encourage us as we need encouragement. But I'm so thankful that in this psalm here, we see that he is the helper. The Lord is our helper. Look at the first two verses. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. That's where my help comes from, he says. Verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord. You really don't have to go too far deep into interpretation there, do you? My help cometh from the Lord. He's our helper. He's the one that helps us, that helps us in so many different ways. He is the helper. Isaiah 50, 8 and 9 says this, he is near that justifieth me, who will contend with me. Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. What is he saying? If God is going to help me, it doesn't really matter what anybody else is going to do, because I have God on my side to help me and to encourage me. Romans 8:31, we know this one well. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And while we get ourselves in binds and in a pinch sometime where we need the help of a friend or a brother that's near, we always need the help of God, and he's always near. So he's the helper. But also we see God and called the keeper here in this psalm, and that's kind of what we're going to focus on. Our title is Keep Your Eyes on the Keeper of Your Soul. He's the keeper. A keeper is one that retains custody and retains in custody. Repeat after me. Finders, that means it's mine, right? But if he's the keeper, we're his. We're his. Now let me ask you this. Does Jesus have custody of you? As a father has custody of his children, does Jesus have custody of you? And the world teaches that we're all God's children, but John 1:12 says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so I'd encourage you tonight, if you've never entered into that relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior and been placed in his custody, what did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me. But that begins with accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, my friend. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So a keeper is one that retains in custody. To keep means to protect or to guard or sustain, to tend to have the care of. And he certainly is our caretaker in that way. Genesis 28:15. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. We see God's promise with his man there. Luke 4:10 says, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. You see, if we are a child of God, he is our keeper. He's our helper, yes, but he's our keeper. And also we see in this passage, just as we get into it here tonight, that he is the one that preserves. All three of these, he's our helper, he's our keeper, and he preserves us, all carries similar meanings, and that he's taking an active approach to caring for us. He's the one that preserves. To preserve is to keep safe from injury or destruction. To defend from evil is to preserve. And we see that in verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. In Psalm 41:2, it says, the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. God is in keeping and preserving alive. That's what he does. So I think we see very clearly from just a simple reading of this passage that he is the helper, he is the keeper, he's the protector, but there's a problem. What's the problem? Well, so often what we do is we go about life and knowing in our heads that he's the helper and the keeper and the one that preserves us, and we go about life and we lose sight of who he is and what he's done for us. We lose sight of his desire to be engaged in our life and as our helper and our keeper and the one who preserves us, and we lose sight of that, and sometimes it gives way to what we call discouragement or depression or losing heart or losing purpose in life. But we need to refocus a little bit, and tonight the message is this: keep your eyes on the keeper. Keep your eyes on the keeper. And the psalmist here, he chose to focus on God because God was the source of help. God was the source of help. He was the source. Look at verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help. And I think there comes times in life, many times, quite often if we're honest, that we need a little bit of a wake-up call to stop looking at our problems and look to the keeper. To stop focusing on our problems and our situation and our circumstance and our trials and tribulations, because let me tell you, there are plenty in this life, but sometimes we need to take our eyes off of those things and remember who the keeper is and what he does for us. So we want to focus in on that tonight. But I want to encourage you to make the choice to focus on God as the source of your help. And it's a choice, my friend. Notice in verse 1, I will. We have a will. We have a will to choose. And the psalmist here says, I will. And I hope tonight you will say, I will look to God for help in my situation. To choose to focus on him because he is the source of help. I hope you too will say, I will. And so tonight we want to look at two aspects here of Christ and God as the keeper. We want to take some time and talk about what the psalm talks about concerning how that he keeps us, the ways that he keeps us. And then after we get through talking about the ways that he keeps us, we're going to come over here and talk about a little bit about the keeper and who he is. And I think after we understand this and we go up and see who the keeper is, it'll give us more confidence to trust in these areas. So let's begin with how he keeps us. Look at verse 3. Number 1, he keeps us settled. He keeps us settled. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He won't suffer thy foot to be moved. Reminds me of Psalm 38:16. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. You know what I found as in my short years of life? I have found that the longer I live, the more it hurts to fall. Can I get an amen? The longer you live, the more it hurts to fall. It's like you see this little child, and I think God knew what he was doing. I know God knew what he was doing when he made kids, because it's like they just bounce up and keep going. I can watch my sons take a fall, and you might as well have jumped off the roof, and they bounce up and keep going. And I sleep with the wrong pillow, and I'm feeling it for days. How is this happening? And the longer we live, the more it hurts to fall. The more devastating, though, and I think you understand where we're going here, the more devastating than it is to fall physically and maybe be in the hospital or have a broken bone or an injury, it's more devastating to slip spiritually. To slip spiritually. But the devil wants that. In fact, back up in that verse in Psalm 38:16, the psalmist there is saying, Lord, if I slip, my enemies are going to rejoice. And we have an enemy who is as a roaring lion, who wants you and I to slip and to fall into sin and to be disobedient and not be settled as God wants us to be settled. But he keeps us settled if we'll let him. He keeps us. God wants us to be settled as Christians. Settled in what ways? Well, we could speak to many different ways, but I think one way he wants us to be settled, he wants us to be settled in what we believe. He wants us to be settled in what we believe is true and what the Word of God says. Acts 2:42, this is our theme for the year at Foundation Baptist Church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's what they believed, in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. We need to be steadfast in what it is that we believe. The world is changing, isn't it? The world and the news and society is beginning to accept things, even churches accepting things that God has said is sin. Well, let me tell you, we need to be resolute in believing what God says. That's right. And be settled in that, and settled in what God says, because society changes, but God's word doesn't change. The truth doesn't change. Truth is absolute. Truth is eternal. It doesn't change. So God wants us to be settled in what we believe. He wants us to be settled in this, in your desire to live and work for God. He doesn't want us to waver back and forth between one minute being, yes, I'll serve and I'll help and I'll do what I can, and the next minute saying, you know, it's time to coast. No, no. God wants us settled with our ears pinned back, serving him and not giving in that way. 1 Corinthians 15:28. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, Very similar to settled idea there. Unmovable. Braced. This is what I'm going to do. What does he say? Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He wants us to be settled in the idea that I'm going to serve him in whatever way that I can. Set and settled in that. You know, it's God that can help us be settled and get settled. 1 Peter 5, verse 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, will make you perfect. That means mature. Establish, strengthen, settle you. It's his work. He keeps us settled. And we need to ask God and look to God to help us and to keep us settled, because he wants to keep us settled, and we need to let him do that. Number two, he keeps us shaded. He keeps us shaded. Look here in verses 5 and 6. He says, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He keeps us shaded. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand, he says. And Isaiah 25:4, it says this, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall, he wants to be to shade us. Maybe we could say it this way, to comfort us, to shield us. He's our refuge. It's another way we say that, isn't it? He's our refuge from the elements. He's our refuge from the storms that beat down on us. And he protects us. He shields us. I'm convinced he shields us as Christians if we'll trust in him in ways that we don't even perceive, in ways that we don't even understand. I think of Jonah. In Jonah 4:6, he says, and the Lord God prepared a gourd. And if you know the story, Jonah is pitching a fit, basically. He's up on the hillside waiting for Nineveh to be destroyed. He's in self-pity. He's not necessarily right with the Lord at this point. But you know what God does in his love and in his mercy? He creates a gourd to spring up and to cover him and to shade him and to protect him. But he wasn't grateful for it, was he? Let's read just a little bit. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. And Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. And I think sometimes that as we're experiencing difficulty and trials in life, that God shields us with an extra blessing that sometimes we don't even perceive, but we need to understand that that's his work. He does that. He shelters us. Psalm 61, 1 through 3 says this, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. You know, there's much in life that we can't control. Sometimes things happen to us physically. Sometimes things happen to us just as we go about life. And we cannot control. But you know what we can control? How close we stay to the one that keeps us shaded. How close we stay to the shelter. How close we stay to the keeper in times of distress. He keeps us settled. He keeps us shaded. But here in verse 7, we see he keeps us from sin. He keeps us from sin. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, he says. Now, yes, we can understand this as saying he keeps us from harm, and I believe that's part of that. But also, he wants to help us stay pure from evil in our own hearts, in our own minds, in our own life. He wants us to stay pure. 2 Corinthians 13:7 says this, now I pray to God that you do no evil. That's pretty clear, that you do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. What is he saying? You need to live right. God expects us to do that. But the keeper that we're focusing on here in Psalms 121, he's the one that sanctifies and keeps us. He's the one that does the work of maturing us as Christians and growing us and helping us gain freedom from sin and freedom from addiction and all of those things. It's His work that He does, and it's through His power and through His might. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, "And such were some of you." And if you back up and read that list, they were a mess. And frankly, we were a mess before we met Christ, weren't we? "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified." There's that word, sanctified, meaning changed into the image of Christ. "But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, we talk about Him keeping us from sin. That doesn't mean that we bear no responsibility. In fact, we do. We have the responsibility to look to Him and trust Him and ask Him for help and lean on Him. And maybe we can say it this way, walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, to let Him have His will and way. And maybe as Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now this is, I want to be clear here. Our sanctification is very much dependent upon our willingness to be obedient and to be submitted to the keeper who will do this work in our life and in our hearts. Our salvation, on the other hand, is not kept by us in any way. It's not kept by us. It's kept 100% by the keeper. And it says in verse 7, the latter part, that He's the keeper of our soul. He's the keeper of our soul. He shall preserve thy soul. Now we believe that the Bible teaches what we call the perseverance of the saints, meaning that once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ, it is a done deal. You cannot lose your salvation. Why? Because the keeper is keeping our soul. He's keeping us. John 10, 27 through 30 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than me, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So we get the picture that we're His sheep. And sheep don't run in and out of Christ's herd. You're either His sheep or you're not. And He keeps the sheepfold. That's a different message. Anyway, keep going. We're His sheep. And He says, and we're in His hand. And we're in the Father's hand. And nobody can pluck us out of the Father's hand. What does that mean? He keeps our soul. We have eternal security, knowing that we are saved and we are on our way to heaven, and nobody or nothing can change that. John 6, 37 says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." No wise cast out. He keeps our soul. But here in verse 8, we also say he keeps our schedule. Look what it says. "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in." The idea of he keeps thy going out and thy coming in. He keeps as we go from place to place, and as we go throughout our days and doing the things that we are doing throughout our day, throughout our years, throughout our life, He's in control. In fact, the title of this psalm, the Song of Degrees, is the idea of a psalm written for someone who is on a journey, who is a pilgrim, traveling from place to place. And sometimes it can feel like, and it certainly is the case, that our life is a journey, and we're consistently in different situations. You may find yourself in a trial or a difficulty or just a brand new situation that makes you uncomfortable, but He still keeps us in the middle of those circumstances. As we go out and as we come in, as we go about normal, everyday, average life in this sin-cursed world, He keeps us. He preserves us. And so no matter where you are in your day or in this journey of life, we need to remember that He's the keeper. He's there to preserve and to protect. And I'm thankful, and I hope you are this evening, to know that the Lord is my keeper. He's my protector. He's my help. And I praise the Lord for that. But here, as we turn a corner, I want us to consider for a moment what this psalm tells us about who he is, who the keeper is. And the first thing I notice as we begin reading is this: the keeper is higher. He's higher than I am. Whereas you say, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. I'm down here, but he's way up there. He's in the hills, looking down in the valley. He's higher than I am. Verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? He's up on the mountaintop, looking down upon our situation. And so many times, we're so bogged down with the particulars of our situation, we don't have the perspective that we need to have, but he always does. He's higher. He sees where that we're headed. And sometimes he sends a storm just to turn us to go a different direction. He knows where we're headed. He knows where we've been. He knows our tendencies. He knows our proclivities. He knows what his plan is. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. What does that mean? We don't think like God thinks. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. What does that mean? We don't do things the way God does things. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He is God. He understands our situation better than we understand it. He sees from a perspective that we could never see it from, and he's higher. So what am I saying? I'm saying keep your eyes on the keeper, because he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. We don't always understand what the keeper's doing, but we can rest assured that he sees the situation with a greater, dare I say, complete understanding. So keep your eyes on the keeper. We also see this about the keeper. The keeper is the creator. My help cometh from the Lord, he says in verse 2, which made heaven and earth. Which made heaven and earth. It's good for us to remember that. Colossians 1, 16 to 17 says this, for by him were all things created. Amen. We don't believe in that evolution nonsense, do we? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. What are you saying? You're saying there's more to life than what we can see? Yep, that's right. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. What does that mean? He was not created. He always has been. He was before all things, it says. He is before all things. And by him all things consist. Well, now what does that last phrase mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. What that last phrase means is everything that has its existence, its beginning, its creation was because he created it. And everything that continues to exist is because he allows it. It consists. It's existence. God could simply stop allowing all that is to exist and poof, it would be gone. But it consists because he allows it. It consists by him. John 1, 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things that were made by him, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. What does that mean? Jesus, the Word made flesh, was right there creating alongside God the Father. Three in one at the same time, creating the universe. So what am I saying here tonight? I'm saying if he can speak the world into existence, he's more than capable and worthy of our trust. And so keep your eyes on the keeper. I find encouragement in verses 3 and 4, because the third thing we notice about our keeper is this. The keeper never sleeps. He never sleeps. He never takes a nap. He never puts his phone on silent. We can always get a hold of him. He never sleeps. Look here. I will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Psalms 139, 11 and 12 says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Have you ever considered this thought tonight? It's never dark where God is. It's never dark where God is. How do you know that? Well, if you go to Revelation 21 and verse 23, we find that there is no sun in heaven. Why? It doesn't need one because he's the light. The light emanates from him. And so it's never nighttime where he needs to rest and to sleep. He never slumbers. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. He even mentions in our psalm here that he keeps, the one that keeps Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. And we can look at what's going on in Israel right now, and rest assured, he's not asleep. He knows exactly what's going on. In fact, I'd say it's all part of his plan. You say to let the Israel, God's chosen people, Israel, go through hardships. Read the book of Judges. He uses those things. Anyway, once again, that's another sermon for another time. But he never sleeps. And if he's able to keep entire nations, it may be nighttime here or a dark time in your life, the keeper never experiences darkness and never sleeps. 1 Kings 18:27 says, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. You understand this context. This is when they're up on Mount Carmel having that battle, so to speak, where they've tried to make sacrifice, and if their God's going to consume that sacrifice, and Elijah's just making fun of them because their God, of course, is not real. And he mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he's pursuing, or he's on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. I've seen people in a Buddhist temple in communist China get down and slap their hands three times so as to wake up this idol that they're praying to. Let me tell you, friends, our God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. You know, he never sleeps so that we can rest. Think about that. He never sleeps so that we can rest. Psalm 3, it says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter up of mine head, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. He sleeps not so that we may rest. Number four, we see the keeper is always near. He talks about the shade. It's on our right hand, verse 5. The shade upon thy right hand. When we say that something is in reach, it means it's close by, right? When we say it's at hand, it means it's nearby. When someone is our right hand man, it means they're consistently there helping. And Jesus, as the helper, our keeper, is on the right hand. He's always near, night or day. He's there. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee, as the Bible says. And as all these things are true, there's another that adds a little bit of weight to each and every one of them that we see here in verse 8. And it's this: the keeper never changes. He's not sleeping now. He's not going to sleep in the future. All these things will continue to be true. Look what it says in verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. What an encouragement. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to encourage you tonight, keep your eyes on the keeper. I believe this psalm shows us that he really does care for us. He wants to keep us and protect us and preserve us and help us in ways that maybe we don't even fully understand. And the psalm also tells us he's able. He can handle it. He can handle it. So keep your eyes on the keeper. Let's bow for a word of prayer as we close. Father,